Hello everyone, welcome to Private Education. Again, took another week off last week. I feel guilty saying this, but I have a rake of work on at the minute. And paid work. And as you know, I make $0 from this podcast. So last week I needed to have the full, like, the breadth of my concentration on something else. So the thing is, and I say this all the time, I really need to be in the headspace for private education, because you have to kind of have a bit of a, like, you have to be having a good day, kind of. And I was saying on Instagram yesterday, I don't know if anyone follows me on Instagram personally as opposed to just the podcast, you may have seen that I was querying with the whole pandemic thing. I was asking whether it was just me that was having either brilliant days where everything seems great and you feel like you can conquer the world, or completely terrible shit days start to finish. It's either one or the other. There doesn't seem to be any middle ground, any in between. And so basically last week I had a series of those terrible shit days, and I was waiting for a good day to come back around, and thankfully this week I've had a couple. So here we are with a new episode, and joining me, I'm so delighted that I have someone joining me, because last week was good, you know, being solo, but I do prefer to be able to have the chats. And joining me for the chats is my pal, Dr. Dre.
Hello.
Hello. And you know, I actually had a message or a review on, I think it was on iTunes, I was reading, and it said, all it said was, I love when Dr. Dre comes on.
Oh my days. Well, I'm always happy to be involved. One of my faves.
Buzzing. Yeah. So last week, you probably listened, Dre. I hope you listened. I'll kill you if you didn't. No, I won't. But last week I answered two listener queries, and I have two more this week. Now, the first one I think is, I think it's simple enough. It's not, and for the person it's not, but I think there probably will be good advice we can give. The second one is a little more complicated, so we'll leave that till second. We'll start out with the kind of more straightforward one. Is that all right?
Yeah, I'm buzzed because I've had no preparation here, so I'm coming in fresh.
You're coming in fresh. And to be fair, like, not that I'm coming in fresh, I've already read them, of course, but I haven't put a huge amount of thought into what I'm going to say.
Yeah. We'll you know, it'll just come as we go.
Not because I don't want to prepare, but because sometimes I think if I over prepare, it'll just sound a bit hammy. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
And we'll go au natural.
We'll go au natural. Okay, we'll also mute my phone there in case anyone heard that message. Okay, so everyone knows I keep them completely anonymous. So if ever you want to message in, you don't have to worry that I will accidentally read out your name. So this girl says, I've been listening to your podcast for some time now, and I think you might be able to help me. Thanks for listening. Okay. I'm starting to feel like my boyfriend is losing interest. We have been living together for over a year after doing long distance for 2 years, and things over the past few months have changed. His nights now revolve around how long he can spend playing video games with his friends. It's a struggle to get one or two movie nights a week together, and when we do, he spends the entire time scrolling on his phone. Sex has become non-existent in our relationship. We used to have it quite regularly, like 3 to 4 times a week. Now, if he touches me, excuse me, now, if he touches me once every week or two, I'll be lucky. I know I have put on some weight recently, so it may be the case he's not attracted to me anymore. And with lockdown, it's trackies and hun buns every day, so I'm not looking my best. When I do put makeup on, he's like, why are you wearing that? I really don't know what to do. Please help.
First off, I'm sorry that you're having, to the listener, that you're having such a shit time on so many fronts. It sounds like there being a lockdown, dealing with, you know, your boyfriend losing interest, you trying to put in a bit of effort, and it being not well received. Just
bad. Like, and also, oh, like, it actually it squeezes my heart when I hear of women, girls, women, whatever, or anyone, truth be told, that are like, oh, it's my fault because I've put on weight, or it's, oh, it's my fault because I wear a hun bun, or like, absolutely. Yeah.
No, if you've been together for that long and did a long distance,
mm.
it was, if you could, if your relationship survived 2 years long distance, it wasn't about the physicality, it was about the connection you had, I'm assuming. I yeah. think that would be, you know, something you could say, excuse me. And like at the moment, we're locked in with food. There's not much else. Mm. So I think everybody's kind of up and down and weight wise. And weight is never something like, I mean, if you love somebody, you'll love them if they're a stone heavier or a stone lighter, or if they're, you know, if all of a sudden something happens and their appearance changes, like that shouldn't be the foundation of, it can be the foundation of attraction. But then, once you move past that, you know,
With body shape and things like that, and you know, not putting in effort, as you know, a lot of people would say, like with the hun bun and the tracksuit. Like, I mean, I'm the great unwashed at the moment. Like, I have, you know, I put in absolutely zilcho effort, but and to be fair, my husband isn't exactly, you know, getting into a 3-piece suit and putting gel in his hair every day. It's not like, you know, it's not going both ways. But maybe it's the case of that, just to take that issue as a kind of as the only thing going on, like if it is something to do with a lack of attraction, it's not because of the lack of effort, quote unquote, that you're putting in. And like I want to get across that, you know, without offending anyone, yes, it can be unattractive to both men, women, you know, in like hetero relationships, whatever kind of relationship you're in, if your partner all of a sudden changes. Like, say for instance, you're going out with someone who trains 4 days a week, plays a sport, whatever, and like eats well, takes care of themselves, and that's part of who they are, and that's part of what attracted you to them, right? Then all of a sudden they, or whether they go through a hard time or they just change or whatever it is, and that part of what you found attractive about them isn't there anymore. Okay. Granted, that might come with a body change, but the thing that you liked about them might have been their motivation to train. It might have been their discipline. It might have been the fact that, you know, you could rely on them to always want healthy meals, to help you always want healthy meals. You know, it might be not the body change that you've
yeah
found unattractive, but the personality change that might have gone with that. And then let's not forget, if someone has, you know, like put on weight or had an illness or just, you know, whatever the case may be, they, you know, they inherently are still the same person, like you said. But yeah. Like I'm trying to think of a way to say it without offending anyone. Like, it's, you can kind of understand to a certain extent if the body change, the physical change, the aesthetic change,
yeah,
came with some kind of other, a change in motivation or a change in, you know what I mean? So like, say for instance, if my husband next week was just like, no, I'm not going out on any more walks, I'm not going to exercise anymore, I want to stay at home and just like do nothing and whatever, whatever, I would find that unattractive. Not because he'd like potentially put on weight, but because that isn't attractive to me. That attitude of, you know, a lack of motivation and a lack of want to be outdoors or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think, no, yeah, I do. And I agree there. Yo, no, 100%. I understand. And kind of drilling down into that then.
Hmm.
If, like, I'm not accusing anybody here again, I'm not pointing fingers or anything, but I kind of want to know, has anything happened to your listener? Is she doing okay? Because sometimes weight gain, and it's not accusatory, but sometimes weight gain and weight loss can be an indication of a different problem.
Oh my God, yes.
And I'm not, like, putting on a couple of pounds, hello, here I am, rounder than I was before I got locked into my house, absolutely. But is there anything wrong? Because if there's a weight gain, and then there's exterior changes as well, so the relationship isn't the same, she feels, how is the weight affecting her? Is she self-conscious now? Is
that
affecting the relationship? Not that that's, you know, I'm not, and again, the weight isn't the issue, it's what's caused it. Where has it come from?
Oh my God, you said it way, that's what I was trying to say for the last fucking 7 minutes. Honestly, that is exactly what I was getting at. It's not about the physical element. It's about what caused that physical element, and it can go both ways, and it can go all, you know, it can be a woman wondering that about a man, and a man wondering that about a woman. Like, has there something happened alongside the weight gain that maybe, you know, is there depression, or is there anxiety, or is there, you know, anything like that going alongside it?
Yeah, because I personally, and from past experience, I remember being in a relationship where very early on, there was like a bit of messing. I was young. I was super active. I was, you know, when you're younger and you could eat McDonald's every day of your life, and like the weight isn't an issue. You're just running your metabolism on your side.
The best days of my life.
I had a conversation with my boyfriend at the time, and it went around like, well, now you better not start piling on weight because that's false advertising. And I remember thinking, you can't say that, but also, lol, that's not going to happen. And then roll on a few years' time, and I went through a really tough time. Like, I had a sick family member, personally, like stuff with college wasn't going well, and I started to put weight on. And I, at the time, assumed it was, oh, it's the weight because of that passing comment that was made. But I know myself, I still wasn't the same person that I was. You know, I changed as well because of circumstances. And yet it was hard at the time to say no. Because of that comment, it was hard at the time to be like, okay, it's because you're different. So I was like, no, it's because you're such a pig and you just want to. But I know I was different. And with hindsight, looking back, I know that now. So if the listener could have a think to themselves about, okay, what's going on with me? Check in with yourself. You know, is lockdown, and it says in the last couple of months, has this happened before lockdown? Has this been going on for a while? You know, is there any changes in you? Not physically, like on the inside, mentally, emotionally, what's going on? Because as cutthroat as this is, I don't care about him in this situation. I'm more concerned about, is she okay? And, or he, sorry, he or she okay? She said hun bun. That's why I assumed it was a girl.
It is. I can tell by your name that it is girl.
So I just think that's where this should start. And it's hard because
I think it's worth saying, like, in no way by us saying this are we placing any blame for these issues with sex and with the relationship at her feet. In no way.
Like, not at all.
More, I feel like this is more us saying, is she okay? Check in with herself. Have a look at how she feels in the relationship. Have a look at how she feels about herself. And how just you know, by way of check in with yourself.
Yeah.
But in no way are these things her fault, or in any way she should feel any blame. So I want to just go back to the she says his nights now revolve around how long he can spend playing video games with his friends, and it's a struggle to get one or two movie nights a week, and when we do spend time, he's on his phone scrolling, sex has become non-existent. So that's, I think we can probably assume that she is making an effort to try and have more, you know, she's saying it's a struggle to get one or two movie nights a week. So I think we could probably read into that and say that she's trying to encourage him to spend more time with her, and he wants to play video games with his friends and scroll on his phone. Now, the scrolling and the playing video games, in my experience and from what I've heard from friends of mine and things, that can be a way of escaping reality. So if you are looking for kind of, you're literally jumping into video games and onto your phone to scroll let your brain have a bit of an escape from, you know, real life, I guess, or like what's actually going on. So men and women, in fact, everyone uses video games at times to escape their actual problem. Like, sometimes I find, and I know this is so silly, but like if I'm having a particularly tough time, I quite often open up my laptop and throw on The Sims and play for a couple of hours, because you're focused on something else, you have to concentrate on what's going on or your sim will die, and like you're literally living in a fantasy world for a couple of hours, and it's like, I don't know, it's like meditation for people, you know. It's like a little bit of escape from reality. So he might be doing that. And you have to kind of look at that maybe and think, what is he trying to escape from? Is he not happy? And it seems to me as though neither of you are necessarily living in a happy relationship together at the minute, because he's trying to escape, you know, play his games and stuff. You're thinking, oh God, is it because I've put on weight and because I don't look my best? That's like, oh Jesus. Sorry. My WhatsApp on my computer. There I was. I was like, my phone is on silent. This will be fine. Sorry. So yeah, I think, you know, that neither of you, if I'm talking directly to the listener, neither of you on the surface anyway, based on this one message, seem to be fully happy in yourselves.
I agree.
If you're not happy in yourself, it's very, 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 very fucking difficult to be happy together.
Yeah, and that's what I think we were both saying about, you know, checking in with yourself, not because of the weight gain by any means, and we're leaving that behind. That's not the, and we're again not placing blame at anybody's feet, but why aren't you happy? Why aren't you content? Because you can't be happy in a relationship if you're not happy in yourself. And as you said, it sounds like both parties aren't happy. So a bit of communication, I think. There seems to be a communication breakdown as well, because nobody's asked the other, are you okay?
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah.
How are you? And that can be hard, especially when the communication has broken down, to start that conversation, because when that question comes out of nowhere, you're like, yeah, what are you talking about? And it can be quite, you know, people can jump to defensive, but if you broach it, listen, things haven't been the way they have been before. And I'm just wondering, how are you? Are you okay?
Yeah.
I'm not feeling good, or I'm feeling this way, and just start the conversation. And like, especially at the moment where stresses are high and people are like, this is such a foreign situation for so many of us to be in. Obviously, all of us, pandemic, we've never lived through this before. But I think it's just worthwhile starting with a bit of a chat and seeing where you can go from there. But also for yourself, and making sure that you are, you know, well, mentally, emotionally, just check in with yourself and see how you're feeling. That's me speaking directly to the listener, not to you, Paul.
Yeah, yeah. I think everyone, including me, could do it, having a check-in to see how we're feeling. She says as well, just before we move on, the first sentence of the query is, I am starting to feel like my boyfriend is losing interest. Now, she does mention later on that sex has become non-existent. But I'm starting to feel like my boyfriend is losing interest is a general thing, not just about the sex, but just to speak about the sex, like, she says we used to have it quite regularly, 3 to 4 times a week. That's a lot, I'm going to say, for people in a relationship. It is. And she says, now if he touches me once every week or two, I'd be lucky. And even once a week or once a fortnight in a long, or not in a long distance, in a long-term relationship can be not enough, but like, because enough depends on everyone's sex drives and all that kind of stuff. Enough is different for me as it is for you, as it is for the next person. But if you know, sex once a fortnight is making you happy and you feel good about yourself and you feel connected to your partner and you feel like you're having intimacy, that's fine. I want to make sure that she knows that it's not about racking up the numbers when it comes to sex. It's about the connection and about the intimacy. And I think people put a lot of pressure on how often do you have sex. We haven't had sex in, you know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, whatever it is. But once you feel connected, once you're both happy, once you feel sexually satisfied, there's also like the option for solo sexual satisfaction. But once all those things are in place, the number doesn't matter. So that's something she could probably take out of the equation altogether.
I agree. And also, I'm pretty sure you said they were long distance for 2 years and they've been living together for a year. Yeah. So if you think about it, long distance for 2 years where sex together, obviously solo sex could happen, wasn't an option. I can only imagine on like, you know, meeting up for the first time and for the first couple of months actually being in the same house as somebody that you're in a relationship with. I can only imagine.
Oh my
God. It's just middle of the day quickies, like popping home from work to be like, oh my God, are you in the house? I'm in the house. Bang. You know?
Phone city over here. Like,
it's almost like the start of a relationship all over again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that kind of normal, it's kind of normal for things to kind of just fall into a new pattern. Because at the beginning, it's like the novelty, new pattern. And as you said, whatever that pattern is for individuals in relationship, you know, whatever works for each individual relationship, is A-okay. That's not indicative of a problem.
No.
What's more, the problem is the feelings that are around everything that's been said.
Yeah. And like, you know, look, it doesn't feel good for anyone to feel like they're being ignored or, you know, that someone is losing interest in them or anything like that. Or like, to, you know, for someone to be sitting there scrolling on their phone and not watching the movie together, like, that does not feel good. But it like, what I feel might be happening is there does seem to be a loss of interest, but it'd be worth having a bit of an investigation and checking out on why exactly that has happened from both your perspectives. But like, bottom line, and one thing I want to get across is, this is not your fault. It's not because you have your hair in a hun bun. It's not because you've put on weight. It is absolutely nothing to do with that. It is to do with what's going on underneath, both for yourself and for your partner.
That is the take home.
I think it is. Okay, will we move on to the next one? Now, yes. The next message, okay, I'm just going to show it right here. So the next message goes on across four pages.
Great. Can I just say, I thought the first one was straightforward, and then we had like quite an extensive chat. So good luck in the cup for the next one. Let's go. Yes. I feel like I should be taking notes on pointers as what it, because that message is long. I saw the message, listeners, not the text, but the length, and we are in for a ride. Let's go.
It's very long. But and the thing is, right? And in fairness, the listener says, and I'd be 90% sure this is a female listener that we're dealing with here. She does say in her little intro, she says, oh, my spelling and grammar will be all over the place, just a pre-warning, right? So the message kind of it asks lots of different questions and goes in and out of topics and stuff. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna give you the abridgment. I'm gonna give you the cliff notes on the message, because just to give you a more direct idea what exactly this person is asking.
Excellent.
So I'll paint you the picture. So the gist of this is, she's wondering about when is the right time to have babies. Okay, she's 30, and she basically is like, okay, we have the body clock, and do you have to be married, and do you have to, you know, have all these things in place? And she basically is saying that her partner is saying that he talking about those issues, and he's just like, oh no, that's not for me. And she's like, is that actually the case? Is it really not for him, or is that something he's just saying, but he'll like it when it happens? And she mentions that she has pets, and that initially when she was when they were talking about getting these pets, he was like, no, not for me, not my vibe at all. But then she went ahead and got the pets, of course, and it turned out that he was mad about them, right?
Right.
So she basically is like, you know, is that going to happen with children? And then she says, there was an interesting thing here, because from my experience, most men don't jump at the chance of having a baby or tell you, oh good, yeah, let's try now. And then she has in brackets, men don't like to tell us what we want to hear when we want to hear it. Now,
wow.
Yeah. No, and this, I'm actually, I can't, to be honest, I kind of want to grab this man by the collar and punch him and tell him to start treating his partner with a little bit more respect. And I also want to tell the listener that she deserves so much more than someone who she doesn't think will tell her what she wants to hear when she wants to hear it. Because a partnership and a relationship, I mean, of course there are men who say, I would love to have a child, let's do that now. Of course there are.
Yeah, and also, listeners, you can't see my face, or at least I hope you can't, because I've made no effort. I don't know if this has been recorded in church, but I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked. I think there's many things there, and I think we should just start from the top in relation to when is the right time to have children.
Yeah.
Okay, so age, body clock, circumstances, finances, there's so many things that need to be considered.
Yeah.
But there is no, at the age of 31.65 years, yeah, you start to have a baby. It, yep, is such personal preference. And it comes down to you and your partner, or you, depending on your circumstances, if you want to do it on your own. You know, there's so many ways people are you know, now, yeah, becoming, yeah, families.
Yeah.
But I think that's almost not an issue. And I wonder if your partner is not hot on the idea, is he putting these things in the way? Is it like, yeah, we're not married,
yeah,
you know, we've loads of time, you know, it could be that. So I just want to put that out there. Obviously, the later it goes for a woman, the more challenging it can be to actually conceive, you know, statistically and stuff like that. But it's not to say that it's not going to happen. Yeah. There's so many ways now to become a parent and to, you know, to have children.
Yeah.
But I think what we should do is we should park that for a moment and come back to the other issues that seem to be there. So there's no point ignoring the fact that your partner doesn't want to have a child. And also, I don't think pets and children are the same.
No, fair. No, and I don't think she thinks pets and children are the same based on the message. But I think what she was trying to do was to say, like, to be honest, the impression I get is that she is like, I'm 30. I would love to have a baby with you. I love you. Like, let's do it. And he's like, no, not for me, not for me. And she's like, yeah, well, you said that about the cats and now you're mad about me. So, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I do. I do know that. I know exactly what you're talking about. But what I mean by pets and babies not being, and children not being the same, it's more like the responsibility that you have as a parent is similar to, but not on all on the same planet as the responsibility you have as a parent.
Not at all. But do you know what I think? I'm just reading through like bits of her text. Like she seems so worried. Like she's basically like, she's stuck between either just seeing what happens and hoping he's only scared now, or like leaving if he really means he doesn't want kids. So I think he's saying to her like, no, it's not for me. I'm not interested. And she's like, when is the right time? Like, when should I cut and run? Kind of. I think she's kind of wondering, should I get out of this and go and have kids? And like, I mean, fundamentally, when you think of it, like, okay, like you said, there is no right or wrong time to have kids. It happens when it happens. If you are 16 and you have a baby, you could be the best mother in the world. If you are 46 and you know think you're menopausal and actually you're pregnant, you could be the best mother in the world. And you know, there are so many different ways to start families. And there's never a right time in terms of, oh, have we got enough money? Have we got a house? Have we got, you know, that's, everything is never going to fall into place perfectly. But at the same time, if you're going out with someone and they're actively saying to you, no, I don't think I want to have children, that's probably not the best environment to bring a child into, in my opinion. And I also don't think there's any world in which you should test that theory, as in I don't think you should go, yeah, sure, I'll just get pregnant and then hopefully he'll learn to love the children. I think that would be probably a mistake. Would you agree?
I would completely agree on two fronts. If you trick is the strong word, if you get pregnant and everybody isn't in agreement and it's not it didn't just happen,
it wasn't
a mistake, or you know, if you try your best to become pregnant and your partner doesn't want you to be pregnant and then doesn't want to be a parent, you have two issues there. You have a fundamental, you know, mismatch in your relationship, and then you've also got a child to deal with. And I think personally, and this is just my personal opinion, if you're in a relationship with somebody and one person wants children and the other person doesn't, that's a foundational issue. Yeah. Same way, children are not the same as the location you live in. What I am trying to say is, if I wanted to live in Dublin and my partner wanted to live in Mexico, and that was where we were, that couldn't work unless you wanted to do long distance. But you know, you have to think about that. And it's
you can't do long distance with a kid.
You can't. Timeshare and a baby. Don't think so. So yeah, I think it maybe that conversation needs to happen. How sure are you that you want kids? How sure are you your partner doesn't?
Yeah.
Go from there.
But I think that's what that's what she seems to be questioning. She mentions that her partner had a difficult upbringing and childhood, but she thinks that he would make a wonderful father. And that she thinks that the concept of parenthood just scares the shit out of him. And she's thinking, well, you know, maybe it's just because he's had that difficult upbringing and he doesn't want to, you know, perpetuate that type of upbringing or whatever. But either way, I kind of feel as though, you know, if you're in a relationship with someone and you're thinking about, you're talking about the concept of children, and one person isn't as enthusiastic as the other person, you really, really need to stop and think about if you are compatible. Because there are certain things, now there's a lot of things that you don't have to have in common to make a relationship work. There's so many things. You can be different in so many, many like ways, and you can have a perfectly functioning, very open, very healthy relationship. But the topic of family and children and family planning, in general, it helps greatly if both parties are on the same page, like at least somewhat on the same page. And I don't think, I don't feel as though her partner is on the same page. And I think that's an issue.
I agree. And I think it's so important. It's the foundation of a relationship to have those, you know, that those key things, there's non-negotiables, if you will. And then, as you said, there's like that other, you could be in a relationship with somebody and they want to spend their free time mountain biking through the hills of Wicklow, and that's fine, and you don't want to, but that's their jam. Exactly. This is much more important. This is the rest of your life stuff. And I understand what the listener is saying about her partner coming from a tough family upbringing and him being a good father, but it's actually, and you know, thinking maybe we'll just get a bit, have a baby and see, it's not your call to make,
no,
to make him a father and show him he will be a good father. If that person really, if that's the reason they don't want to have a baby, it's not up to you to change that for them. Same way, it's not up for him to change you wanting to have a child and you being you know, a fantastic mother. But it's a relationship conversation that needs to happen. Again, it's a communication thing.
Yeah.
Sit down, have a chat, see, and have a real chat. Don't, you know, it's not the kind of thing you do while you're watching Netflix and be like, ah, let's try to have a baby. Like, it's a, we need to have a chat here, you know?
Like, you want to have another bowl of popcorn?
Yeah, like, throw the kettle on.
I will say at this juncture, that's led me into a part of her message that was on that kind of subject of the communication and the chats. So she says she has brought up the topic. She says, when I do bring up the topic, he gets antsy and big-chested. And he would say, I'm not, so she'll say, even if I say no need to be scared of the thought of it happening one day, he would reply, I'm not scared or worried about nothing, with a puffed out chest.
Okay.
So I think she, and she also says, which breaks my heart, she says, kids in the future is huge for me. He knows that. And, you know, so she obviously is trying to have the conversation with him. And she obviously is trying to say, look, maybe you're just scared because your past, because your upbringing, because your childhood. And she's obviously having those conversations with him and saying there's no need to worry about it if it does happen one day. And he's saying, I'm not scared of anything. And he's kind of shutting it down by what I can read into this. So I think, you know, like you just said, my number one advice in most of these situations is communication, and communication is the basis of a good relationship and a relationship that functions well. Open communication and honest communication. I feel like she has been honest with him. I think she has probably said, look, having children is a huge thing for me, and she has tried to chat to him. So I feel like, you know, that would be normally be my advice, to have the communication, to have the discussion, to see what the worries are, etc. He doesn't seem like he wants to have that discussion. And that to me seems quite maybe immature or closed-minded or closed down of him, which makes me think, you know, if they can't have great communication, it's probably not the healthiest relationship that they've ever been in. And maybe she does need to have a look, what are her priorities? If her priorities are to, you know, live with the man she loves and not potentially never have children based on his wishes, then that's option A. And option B is, if she really wants to have a family in future, she's 30 years old, she is by no means, you know, over the hill in terms of finding someone, having babies. At this point, if she does want to move on, she should. She should go, okay, this is not what I want. He and I don't have this, the same values in terms of family. I'm going to move on and start a relationship with someone who does want to give me the things that I want. And I will also say, sometimes women, and again, sweeping generalization, bell, ding, 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 right?
Ding, ding.
You love the bell.
I do.
In fact, Andrea actually bought me a sweeping generalization horn to blare, but I actually think it would disturb my neighbors.
It probably would, and it would be very, very kind of abrupt in the midst of...
Yeah, it would. but I think what I was going to say was, I think women sometimes get it into their heads that they're not allowed to ask for what they want in relationships. They get it into their head that, and it's not out of nowhere. I mean, society has led us to believe that we need to be somewhat kind of, you know, I don't know, agreeable and subservient in certain circumstances, and we have to not talk too much, and we have to not be too confident, and we have to not have opinions, and we have to, like, society has kind of bred that into us in to a certain extent, and it does translate back into our relationships at times, where we think we shouldn't put our needs first, we shouldn't put our wants first and our desires first. And I completely disagree with that, and I think that, you know, in order for you to be fulfilled and happy in your life, never mind in a relationship, you need to be able to put yourself first, because nobody else is going to do that for you. Even if you love them to the ends of the earth, they're never going to put you first. You're the only person who can do that. And I think if the listener really truly put herself first, she would see that her wish is to have a family, and she should feel okay. She should feel confident articulating some of that massive, massive thing to her partner. And if it isn't reciprocated, if it isn't well received, she should have the confidence, and she should be able to say, well, do you know what? This isn't actually for me then. And to be able to maybe move on.
I absolutely agree. I really do.
That's big advice. But I think it's what I would advise a friend of mine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that if those conversations have been had, and if they've been broached in a very level, like, you know, neutral way as much as possible, because these issues are quite there's emotion involved here, like that want, that need, that, you know, to be a mother and to have a family and, yeah, and not wanting that it can be tough. But 100%, if you're not getting what you need from a relationship, from a friendship, from anything, you have the authority to pick yourself up out of it and move on to somewhere else, because 30, as scary as that age is for some of us at the moment, isn't, you know, by any means, we're not over the hill. We're, nope. You know, if anything, it's the part of your life where you're starting to get to know yourself a lot more and what you want and what you need. Yeah. And then with that kind of coming into your 30s, you kind of get a little bit more authority. Be like, you know what, actually, this isn't my jam. This isn't what I want.
Yeah. You get the confidence.
Yeah, you get the confidence, and it's kind of your time.
Yeah, so
don't put yourself in any other position other than first. You're so right. You need to just think of you and move on that way. Move on. Don't mean move on. Actually move on. If that doesn't need to happen. But I do mean move on from this juncture with, okay, if I put what I want first, what is that? How does that look? Where does that leave me?
And you know what I think is key as well? The key thing is that when you... And this is directly to the listener. When you do eventually put yourself first, when you do make that decision to own your own feelings and the things that you want, if your partner isn't supportive of that, and if your partner is like, if that jars with your partner, if your partner is a bit like, well, why am I first anymore? That's a signal that, you know, your relationship isn't balanced, because you putting yourself first, him putting himself first, and you guys being able to coexist like that is what you want in a relationship. You don't want to have to be... Now, of course, every relationship has, you know, you lean on your partner. That's what partners are for. You rely on each other at different points throughout your lives. But if you making your, you know, if you trying to make yourself happy and trying to get the things that you want, the fundamental things you want out of life, if that's a problem for him, that's a problem for you, and it will always be a problem for you, because you'll never be able to exist in that relationship and be able to own the things that you want and be able to ask for the things that you want. So yeah, it's big advice, but I think it's the advice, like I said, that's what I would tell a friend of mine if I was giving my friend advice. So
yeah, I agree.
Me nerves.
I hope that's helpful, because it's big and it's scary. Yeah. But it can be really empowering as well.
Yeah. And you know what, like, you know, I'm sure, and this is probably, I'm sure she loves her partner. I'm sure they love each other. But, you know, it takes more than love. And if she loves him and he is still not, you know, not meeting her halfway and not supporting the things that she wants and not even giving her the forum to discuss the things she wants properly.
Yeah.
Maybe she should question exactly how much he does love her, because love means more than just, you know, telling them that you love them and sitting down on a Sunday and watching movies together. That's not love. That's a relationship. And there are many relationships that exist without love. Love is supporting the other person, listening to them, asking them how they feel, asking them what they want out of their lives, you know, doing everything you can within your power while also keeping yourself happy to make them happy. And yeah, so I would kind of, if the reader or the listener is listening to this and thinking, oh yeah, that's all well and good, and I know I should probably leave him and move on and find someone who does want to have kids, but I love him. You can't love in a vacuum.
Wow.
Love is a two-way street.
That is a hard hitting sentiment there. You cannot love in a vacuum. I like that a lot. You can't.
You don't have love without it being mutual. Do you know
that? I agree. I really, really agree. And although, as you're saying, there's compromise there, everybody gets to put themselves first in a relationship and have some compromise. That's the sign of a healthy relationship.
Exactly. But
there's also, I just to add into the love, there's also different ways people love. Yeah. And different ways people have been shown to love and have learned to love. And maybe your particular brand of love and his particular brand of love do not align. Yeah. And with that, yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of relationships that end with very little fireworks. And, you know, I don't mean fireworks in a good way. I mean like chaos.
That's
just people realize, actually, we haven't had this conversation. And this probably should have been one of the first things that we, you know, not the first thing, like, hey, how are you? How many kids?
Oh, date number one. Do you want to meet me soon?
You know, like, I don't mean like that, but when the relationship begins, so when it goes from dating or from seeing each other to that relationship, I think those are the kind of fundamental questions that need to be asked. And at that early stage, you need to assess where you both stand, what you both want, and have a look at how you both love.
Yeah,
if it will work for you, fantastic. If not, there doesn't need to be animosity. It's just they're not your person, you know.
Mm-hmm. Audrey, hang on. I said to you earlier, right, when I asked Andrea to come on and record this with me, because I was going to do it solo, but then I thought, do you know what, Andrea is such a good advice giver. I said to her, oh, it'll just be a half an hour. We'll do a quick episode, 15 minutes per question. And here we are, nearly an hour later, still chatting away.
Love it. I love it.
Thank you so much, Dre. You're the bomb. Thanks so
no
much.
No probs. Absolute pleasure. And thanks for having me.
I'll see you when it's legally acceptable to do so, which hopefully will be soon, because I really miss my pal. And other than that, I will be talking to you soon. And to everyone that's listening, thank you so much for your patience with me and my erratic private education posting schedule of late. I really appreciate that you still listen, and I really appreciate all the people listening to the back episodes and all that kind of stuff. In case you haven't seen, I am, well, still continuing private education, as I always do, because I love it, but I am starting a new podcast, which is short series podcast. So basically the first series is going to be 8 episodes, and it is all focused around beauty, and I'm going to be launching that in, I'm going to say early June, but who knows really, because I'm trying to get a sponsor for it. So whenever that kind of falls into place, then you'll be able to hear that. It's called, the podcast is going to be called Into It, and series one is beauty. So basically Into It, series one, beauty, and it's Into It podcast on Instagram if you want to go and have a look. But like I said, private education will always be here. And if that's not what you're into, stick around here for more smart sex and relationships from private education. How about that?
I'm in.
She's in. Dry's in. Okay. So that's where I'll leave it for this week. Until next week. And look, I actually have got an episode planned in for next week, which is, you know, so I'm pretty
there we go.
Pretty confident we're gonna have one next Friday. Until then, stay safe, have fun. Goodbye.
Bye.